All right, so think for a second of a world where you, random person on the internet, can take a picture of another random person, let's say on the street, run it through an algorithm, and find out their name with impressive accuracy. Then understand that this tool actually exists already, right now. Joining us to talk all about this is our guest today, and that is Ethan Chile. Is it Chile? I'm sorry that I have to ask this, Ethan.
That's all right. It's Chile.
Chile. Okay. I had one of two ways, and of course I got it wrong. From Fusion.net. No, it's fine. Thank you so much for joining us, Ethan.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So first of all, tell us about the service called Find Face and why it's being dubbed as Shazam for People.
Right. So the Shazam for People quote is actually was a quote from a Russian programmer who used it in March to find two women who he'd photographed 6 years ago and never, never been able to get in touch with to give them the photo. And it basically runs by, if you have a photo of someone, you can plug it into Find Face, and it hooks up to the contact. I'm going to butcher some Russian pronunciation here. The Kontaktye, or VK, which is a giant Russian social network. And if someone has a publicly available photo there, it finds them with incredible accuracy.
Wow. Okay. So how accurate? Like, what are we talking about here?
So Find Face is actually the first tool built with the face recognition software from a startup called Entech Lab. Mm-hmm. And Entech Lab, they say their tech is revolutionary, but everyone says their tech is revolutionary. But last year, the results came out in December, this large face recognition competition run by the University of Washington's MegaFace research group ran, and Entech Lab entered, and with a large set, which was more than 500,000 images of more than 20,000 users, they had a 73% accuracy rate, which beat out, among others, Google, who came in second.
That's insane.
About 70%.
That is insane. You have to imagine Google. I mean, and we know that Google has quite a team behind this sort of thing because it's integrated at least to some degree in Google Photos. You know, there's a lot of image and face recognition in there. You can assign faces that appear in your photos. You can assign them a name, and you know, it's going to pick that all apart. What is different here? I have to imagine that the VK.com has some sort of an API that's allowing Find Face to tap into this, right?
Right. So it's a little unclear. And when I tried to get in touch with VK and ask why, you know, how the API was pulling these images, and specifically because it's been used for some pretty seedy stuff so far, why the API access hadn't been pulled, I got no response. But and likewise, the Entech Lab team is pretty cagey about saying much about their much about how their program works.
Right.
But it's simply a case of, like, because there are so many photos of people in Russia and in Eastern Europe on VK, if they are even remotely publicly listed in the way that you might have publicly listed, like, your Facebook profile picture, it can pull from that.
Got it.
Right. I mean, Facebook has this, too. You know, when you post a picture with a friend, they, you know, it automatically pulls their name up. But, you know, you sort of signed up for that when you, you know, are on Facebook, and it wouldn't just be a random person. You think, like, everybody's friends on Facebook. This sounds so creepy to me, but then I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, two decades ago, if someone had said, you know, someone can type your name into a computer and a long list of things about you will show up to anyone, like, I would have thought that was ridiculous. So I'm wondering, is this just the future and we're all just going to get used to it?
I mean, the dystopian science fiction fan in me is going to, and cynic in me is saying yes, but I think that it is the future. It doesn't have to be the future in terms of this going on without any sort of oversight. So what I found a little alarming while reporting the story was that there seemed to be a certain degree of, well, you have to take the good with the bad attitude by some of the designers. And I mean, you see this again and again. And initially I was thinking of comparing it to chatbots and to what happened with Microsoft's Tay chatbot, where after Tay went haywire, there were lots of people understandably saying, well, this is a question of bad design and of thinking about what safeguards you have in place. So the idea that this is out there is not on its own, it might be alarming. It's not necessarily alarming, but when there's so little oversight and there's so little thought given to what's being done to protect people who are, say, being doxxed using this technology, that's scary.
That's a great comparison because, yeah, that is what they said after Tay. There were all these people who have been doing bot research in the field and saying, like, you absolutely made a mistake. Like, we've been working on this. You could have put this filter in. You could have done this. You just didn't. Is that what you're saying, that Google, Facebook, Snapchat are all working on this? They all have our face print, but they're just not letting people use it to dox us? Is that what's going on?
To some degree. I mean, I don't want to give the impression that I have too much insight into what and how Google or Facebook or Snapchat are using face rec technology. But yeah, this is a case where this tool was sort of built. It was built initially as sort of a date. Like, Find Face is ostensibly a way to date or make friends. The way it was pitched is, oh, you're going to have a photo of someone and you'll plug it into this program and you'll be able to find out who they are and learn about them before you go out or before you become friends, which is, you know, a little bit of a dubious strategy for my money. But yeah, the fact that, you know, it's been used. So part of the reason this came to light is that Devach, which is a Russian 4chan sort of equivalent, was using it to take stills from porn films or just like nude photos of women who weren't necessarily out as porn performers and doxing them to their friends and family.
In Russia, yeah.
In Russia, yes. Mm-hmm. It's only really right. active in Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like that's the sort of use case where it's like, oh, this needs oversight. This needs a team working on it.
Right? Yeah, and even in light of that, it sounded like kind of the people behind this technology, you know, again, like you were saying, take the good with the bad. Sure, bad things can happen, but there's a lot of good things that can happen with this technology too. I know here in the U.S., there's actually a pretty significant lack of kind of laws and regulations around face tracking. And to a lot of people, that's very alarming because, I mean, our faces are very identifiable, obviously. You know, it's kind of like a fingerprint. It could potentially be the kind of thing where years down the line, our faces are our identification for certain things. And, you know, the ACLU, the EFF, they've all worked, you know, they were in 16-month talks, federal talks, on kind of building guidelines around commercial use for facial recognition technology. And they actually abandoned that last June, just basically saying, you know, there was a failure of achieving even minimal rights when, you know, talking with kind of the consumer side of things, you know, regarding things like permission from users to employ face recognition and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if we necessarily know right now what the long-term ramification of that is. Is this something that we, I mean, obviously, you know, this story relates specifically to a service that's just isolated to Russia in this case. I mean, is this something that could potentially tie into, let's say, Facebook services or Google services at some point?
Well, I mean, something like it technically could. I don't see that happening in the same way that this has happened with VK. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that if something like this were to happen with Facebook, there would be a much larger press coverage in a way that it might get pulled much more quickly. But you're absolutely right. There is very little oversight over this, or when there is, it's usually governed by laws that are, you know, 10, 15, 20 more years old. So are sort of not necessarily tweaked to handle this. So I guess the answer is technically, yes, it could. I don't know that that's likely, but it's possible.
Yeah, I remember this earlier today, a couple of years ago when Google Glass, was a thing, you know, was kind of first kind of, you know, hitting its roadblocks, let's say, once people are starting to get Google Glass. There was a company mm-hmm. that was developing some sort of an app that would allow for facial recognition through Google Glass, you know, in that sort of augmented reality sort of way, to where I could meet you on the street and I would know who you are before I actually ask you your name. And Google actually came down on that and basically prohibited that type of use. So at least in some ways, anyways, the companies recognize kind of the fragility of something like this.
Right. And I mean, I think certainly on the consumer side, there is an incentive to do that because you don't want a story appearing that's saying, hey, people are doxing people via Facebook or via a Google account. Whether or not someone would get doxed by a Google Plus, I won't speak to. it's also just something, I think it's something to bear in mind that as face recognition technology gets more advanced, the uses like this are possible. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not necessarily a public facing issue that's going to be a problem. So, for example, one of the positive uses that NTech Lab sort of gave me was a case in, I believe, St. Petersburg, but it might have been Moscow. I apologize for forgetting, where there were some arsonists and people used video stills of the arsonists to ID them and to turn them over to the cops, which, you know, is fine, except then you consider, oh, they still do have a 30 or a 27% fail rate. So hopefully that's correct.
Yes.
Or, you know, what the implications of law enforcement having incredibly accurate face recognition technology could be in a broader sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I guess what you're saying is like this. I think Facebook, Google, they all could do this. They're just not doing it. But I mean, it's important to recognize that the ability to do this is here. I mean, I wrote to you about this earlier because, I mean, I'm fascinated by face swapping apps and by Snapchat lenses, like I'm a child, and they're so fascinating. And then I was just like, I think I saw a meme or something where it was like the moment you realize like all those apps are just memorizing your face. And I was like, oh, is that really happening? And I looked up on Snapchat and they say it's object recognition for the Snapchat lenses, not facial recognition. They know what a nose is. They don't know that they're not saving that.
Right.
But then MSQRD, which was the one just bought by Facebook, I looked at their privacy page and there was just nothing. It was like literally a blank page that we're handing over our face to these people.
Right. And so, I mean, that is especially alarming because, you know, at least if you, even if it's something that you don't necessarily like, if you have a privacy policy, you can at least know sort of what you're getting into. So that is scary. But yeah, I think especially, and the face swapping is sort of a good example of why I think people don't necessarily worry about it because, like, especially something like object recognition can be so sort of fuzzy that, you know, you see a lot of funny, like, glitched face swaps where, you know, I switch my face with a box of tissues by mistake.
Oops.
But, and so the idea is like, oh, the technology isn't that advanced. The technology is there. But if there is, you know, 73% accurate face recognition technology, it is something to think about. It is something to bear in mind and not just write off as, this is still nascent technology that, you know, needs much more development to be abused.
Right, right. Well, very interesting stuff. I think, you know, on one hand, interesting in this isolated incident. And by the way, Russia's like huge. So this actually does affect a lot of people. It's just not necessarily, you know, applicable right now immediately to, say, the U.S. But on the other hand, kind of the wider implications of kind of the future of our face, basically, and the importance of what we might need going forward and what's possible to kind of hack that.
Right. And the realms in which we can expect something like anonymity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether we can expect it in day-to-day life and walking down the street where there are cameras.
For sure. For sure. Ethan Scheel, Fusion.net. Where can people find you online when they want to follow your work, like your Twitter ID?
Yeah, mostly on Twitter. It's at Ethan Scheel, which the last name is C-H-I-E-L, and that's all one word. And otherwise, yeah, my work is on Fusion and for Fusion's Real Future section.
Excellent. Ethan, it was a pleasure getting you on today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Take care.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.